Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Here we go. First episode of fall.
Oh, yes, we're officially in fall?
We are officially in fall now.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell outside about that. Fucking like 95 degrees outside.
We got the AC running.
Yeah. It never starts to cool down until October. So what do we got today? We're going to start things off with the game, Chad.
Yeah. All right. So last week, I watch a lot of League of Legends streamers and people of that nature and professionals, and one of the things that they say is the biggest thing you can do to get better at a game is to record your sessions, review them, treat yourself as if it wasn't you, if you're watching somebody else play, and see all the dumb mistakes that you make, and then you can learn based on watching yourself. So I like to take that to heart. I watched I listened to last week's podcast. I liked the Mad Libs at the beginning, but it was a little long. So we're going to do a quick game here and then get right into the heart of it. But this one's a fun.
That was the first podcast he's ever listened to, by the way.
No, it was my second. This one's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited about this one. This one is it's going to be porn or video game title. So I'm going to give you a title.
Yeah, okay.
And you're going to have to guess porn or video game.
Okay,
porn. And obviously there's two options. So there's no way to compete against
there's
each other.
There's not a both?
Yeah, so you guys can both guess the same thing if you want.
This is really interesting because he has an encyclopedic knowledge of video games and I of porn.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be two heavyweights fighting back to back. All right. First one. Camp Cuddly Pines Power Tool Massacre.
Oh, definitely a game.
Nah, it's got to be porn.
That is a porn.
Damn.
Second one. Nuts and Milk.
I'm going to go game on that one.
What's up?
I think we're both saying game.
It is a game.
Okay.
Next one. Alone in the Dark, One-Eyed Jack's Revenge.
Well, Alone in the Dark's a game. One-Eyed Jack's Revenge? Is that some DLC? Yeah, it's got to be a game.
It's Alone in the Dark 2.
Okay.
It was renamed One-Eyed Jack's Revenge for the U.S. release.
Okay, game.
Next one. Wild Woody.
I'm going to go game again.
I'm going to go with porn just because.
It is a game.
Shit! I'm down two now.
Next one. Blown in 60 seconds.
That.
I feel like this is a trick. I'm going to go with game.
Yeah, I'm going to go porn.
It is a porn.
God damn it. It was too easy.
You're overthinking.
I am.
Next one. Wargasm.
I mean, it's got to be a porn because these are just ripoffs.
I'm going game. I got to come up somehow.
It is a game.
Yes.
Oh, wow. All
right.
Next one. Manhunters with an S. Manhunters.
Why are you saying it like a Z? Like
because Manhunter is obviously a game because that's the one that
Rockstar. Manhunters. That's a terrible name for a porn if it is a porn.
Fuck it. I'm going to go porn.
What are you doing, Bobby?
I got to catch
up.
I'm
going to go porn.
It is a porn.
Damn it. Next Fuck you,
one.
Bobby.
Next one.
Let's make things interesting.
Tongue of the Fat Man.
Game.
Yeah, game.
It is a game. Last one.
I mean, who would name a porn?
Because I got a ton of these, but we'll go to the next segment.
Okay.
Next one, or last one, Sticky Balls. Sticky Balls.
Game.
There you go, game.
It is a game. You guys are correct.
Fuck, man. I lose every goddamn game. Fuck.
I would have thought your knowledge of porn would have gone.
Yeah, but
better.
Who reads the titles?
It's true. I had a lot of good ones.
There's not titles anymore either. It's just like content, whatever is in it.
You'd be surprised. That, so I did my research. There's a website called Adult DVD Empire, which has like all of them. But there's all these like high budget ones that you never.
How long did it take you to do research?
I did my research.
Like it was about 30 seconds at a time. You did your research.
Anyways, they have all these big budget porn movies that you can't see on the internet. Like they've cut them off. So there's
I can
all
see
these,
that.
There's these high budget ones that you don't see and we don't know about because we're on the internet.
I've heard that parodies is the only thing that makes money. Most of the parodies.
There's a lot of parodies, but there was a lot of like. it was crazy. I started doing research. I was like, holy shit, these are like high budget ones with a lot of like acting and stuff in there. I was like, wow, I didn't even know this was around. All right.
Bobby's got something. He's been trying to talk for like 20 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to bring it up or not, but I remember there was one that was really high budget called Pirates or Pirates 2 Stagnati's Revenge or something. And it looks like Sharknado with the special effects and shit. But yeah, they threw a lot of money in. It was supposedly the most expensive porn ever made. I don't know if it still is.
Well, that one is unique because they actually made it so you could do an R-rated version of it. So you could do a porn version of it or a non-porn version of it, and you can actually get it in both ways. So you can, back when Blockbuster was around, you could actually get Pirates.
I didn't know all this. But
I did my research. I don't come in half-cocked, so to speak. All right. So one of the games I played, which I'll talk about later, is called Metal Reaper Online. It's a free-to-play kind of Diablo-esque style game, but it's in the future and you're shooting zombies and you've got guns and stuff. I think it came out of the Eastern Bloc, and the translations are horrendous. I'm into the story and I couldn't even read this stuff half the time, which got me to thinking there's some bad translations in video games, some really bad ones, somewhat that are really well known. So I went through and compiled a little bit of a list of bad translations in video games. I'm going to read some of them. If you guys know what they are, shout it out. If you know what game it's from, I'm going to start with probably the most well-known one, which is All Our Base Are Belong to Us. It's the same game that someone set us up the bomb. Do you guys actually know what game that's from?
Is it Rampart?
No, it's not Rampart. I don't know the name of it. I can't remember.
It's Rampart-esque.
It is actually, hold on. Let me get my notes. Zero Wing is the game that it's out of. I'm just going to list a couple more that people might have heard of, might not have heard of. Fatal Fury Special was one that had a whole bunch of bad translations, but
Fatal Fury, like a fighting game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares, though?
Your Fists of Evil Are About to Meet My Steel Wall of Niceness. There's a bunch of, like, congratulation in Ghost of Goblins, and then Ghostbusters did
that sounds racist.
Congratulations. Metal Gear, the old school game, did I Feel Asleep. There's one about Spoonie, and you still hear people talk about Spoonie to this day. I think it's in Link 2. There's one called I Am Error, because its name was supposed to be Errol. Double Dragon 3 had the names Bimmy and Jimmy, because his name was supposed to be Billy, but they translated it to Bimmy and Jimmy.
I remember that. Bimmy and Jimmy.
So
they didn't put Shenmue in there?
I didn't see any Shenmue. What was the Shenmue one?
Shenmue was a game for the Sega Dreamcast. Yeah, it was like the first game. It was on two discs. It was the first game I ever played that it just felt really open. Like, you could just walk around, talk to people. It was a Japanese game, and it had terrible translations at certain parts. And that was the first time I had ever really played a game and really noticed how bad that shit was.
I'm really glad that the developers, you know, the first 15 years of video games was all out of Japan. So we just kind of got accustomed to that. And now it's, you know, United States and Europe and all that. So it's not just the translation. They could have got this translation spot on. The cultural translation is like, what the fuck are they talking about? I'll say it right now. I don't like Japanese stories. They're way over complex.
Well,
there's way too much going on there.
It's true. They've got a whole culture set up with spirits, and they've got like a religious aspect to it that a lot of their stories revolve around, because a lot of their stories have historical significance to their stories, and you can't translate because that doesn't translate.
Yeah.
So, I saw an article. It's from Adventures in Early Access and Beyond. It's just a blog post. And they were talking about, why do translations make it through into this final cut? Because it's kind of obvious to us.
Right.
And basically what their assertion is that you've got a set amount of money. You can either spend it to make the game better, improve the quality, reduce the bugs, or you can spend a significant portion to get translations, because translations can actually cost $20 to $30 an hour, upwards to $50 an hour to get to get quality translations, and are you spending that money to get the translations? And especially in games that have a lot of text, that can be hundreds of thousands of dollars. So do you spend that on good text, or do you make the game better? In the example of Metal Reaper Online, I would tell you right now that they should spend a little more money on the translations. But
I've been watching Death Note, which is a Japanese anime which started as a manga. My nephew actually told me about it. And I'm enjoying it, but the main character's name is Kira. And they even say it comes from the American name for people who kill people. Killer. But it's Kira.
Yeah.
But which is supposed to be Killa. Anyway.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it all works, but it's just kind of like, come up with something else. I don't know. Definitely. It's a really good anime, though, by the way. I have this and what is the one with the giants? Attack on Titan. Those two are the best ones I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and I couldn't get into either one. I watched about 15 episodes of Death Note. I couldn't get past episode 4 on Attack on Titan. But you get a lot of cosplayers that do Attack on Titan and stuff. So, and Death Note. Okay. TwitchCon is going on right now. We're recording on Saturday, so it's going on Friday, Saturday. So by the time it comes out, it'll have all been over. But there is some interesting stuff. Emilio's getting into Twitch right now. He streams every day, almost every day, 10 to 12 Pacific time.
At least 12. I usually go to 1 if I'm having a good time.
He also does giveaways periodically. So if you want to follow him, DL Gaming DOTnet is the Twitch handle that you should be looking for. Just want to talk a little bit about Bobby. You want to talk a little bit about what they got on the about
TwitchCon? Well, first of all, I want to ask: is this the first TwitchCon they're doing? Yeah, I thought so. I remember when they announced this a few months ago. Let's see. Yeah, we got the about page here. First of all, where are they doing this?
This is in San Francisco at the Moscone Center.
Okay, that seems like a good place to do it.
A lot of Twitch streamers, at least the Twitch streamers I watch, a lot of them are in California. There are a lot in the LA region. There's a lot of them that do it. League of Legends, especially since it's out of Santa Monica, a lot of the Twitch streamers come out of that. Mm.
So is this kind of like a convention where people who stream go just to collaborate and to talk to each other and to...
So the way I understand it is that it's kind of serving a couple purposes. There are a lot of like question answer panel stuff to learn how to stream, to meet the streamers, to talk about the streaming community. There's one on legality. There's one on women in streaming. So that's all going on. At the same time, they're doing some new, they're Twitch streaming the whole time. So they're doing some new, some developers and publishers are there to reveal some stuff. And then they're also, they have the celebrities. These are celebrities.
Yeah, I bet meeting the streamers is one of the biggest parts of that.
Exactly.
So. I bet a lot of this, the number one thing said at TwitchCon is, I thought you'd be taller.
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that what they always say?
So what else did they say on that about section? Because it mentioned a couple different things that...
Yeah, I was just looking over the different zones that they had. They got a gaming lab, bunch of gaming machines set up.
Yeah.
You can play H1Z1 League, Hearthstone, Education Zone.
You couldn't watch anything yesterday and today on Twitch, right? Because all the main streamers are out there doing stuff. So,
oh, that's interesting.
So, like, Twitch was really bad yesterday.
That's why I was gigantic. Yeah. I got thousands of viewers. Yeah, exactly. I was the only guy streaming to that.
Exactly. But it's kind of interesting because it's, the Venn diagram of life. This is like the circle of gamers intersected with the circle of streamers. So it's a niche audience, I think, but it's growing every day, Twitch is big. It was, if you don't know, Twitch was bought by Amazon. So Amazon's putting their Amazon money into it. Just like Google, is it Google that owns YouTube?
Yeah.
They're trying to push their YouTube gaming streaming content. So
is it called... You Live?
Something
like that, right?
So, we're going to get this head-to-head matchup between Amazon and Google, with Amazon and Twitch obviously being the established one, but Google has
Google money.
Insane money, and YouTube is huge.
So we have a Googleplex of dollars at this point.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how this streaming goes in the kind of how it's going to end up. They did a keynote address and they talked about a couple things. Nothing was really like groundbreaking. They're getting away from Flash. They're making some changes. They're changing the way the highlights work, so it's easier. They're trying to make your page be a page to go to even if you're not streaming, so your highlights are easier to get to and people can still chat and interact with each other.
And
so
take you away from YouTube.
They're trying to make exactly. So they're trying to make it as a hub to go to for all the people that follow you. So it's kind of interesting. They also announced a service, I forget what it's called, Game Live or something like that, where you can do a subscription service, and it is a streaming service specifically for Twitch with overheads. They've got specific overheads for games like League of Legends that you can specifically set up. It's a subscription-based service. They're looking at like $10 a month. But it's interesting for the big streamers. I'm wondering if they're going to switch over from OBS or Shadowplay to start using a different service.
It definitely doesn't make sense that Twitch itself doesn't have all these things that these... Because it looks like... what was it? Moobot?
Moobot.
Mm-hmm. They make
tell them about this morning. We did a little... To set your stream up and all. Because you're a newcomer when it comes to streaming.
Yeah, I'm totally new. It's mostly guesswork for me.
So you wanted to do a raffle, and right. How did you want to do it originally?
I was just going to take everybody that was watching and then do a random random number generator and count out who it was. That's how I do all my contests. But apparently, there's people much smarter than me that have figured this out already. So you can actually do it right within it. So I did it that way. Chad told me that there's some plugins for Chrome. But it's ridiculous that Twitch isn't doing this for themselves, because Moobot's making money off of streamers. Why wouldn't Twitch be making that money?
Moobot's free.
It's not.
Well, you can...
They give you some tokens, and then you can spend that, but that's only for a month. If you want to keep that shit up, you got to contribute money.
I thought it was a limited version that you got, and then you had to pay for the full version.
Yeah.
They might have changed it.
Yeah, it looks like it works off of Moo coins or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So, and then you give them money, and you get more coins, and then you can subscribe to various features.
I was under the impression when I started using Twitch about a year ago that they were trying to, Twitch was trying to cut down on this, on the raffles and the giveaways within a stream, because there were other plugins and add-ons that you could put in browsers to be able to do this, but Twitch kept updating and then those old plugins wouldn't work.
I don't know. Recently, like if you watch streamers and you watch the big streamers, they have all sorts of add-ons and plugins that do raffles. Every time somebody subscribes, it has a graphic and a sound effect that plays. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody donates, you know, it's got all these on-screen displays and everything like that. So I don't know if they've given up on trying to regulate this sort of stuff, or they've realized that this is what the market demands, and so they're just going to allow it to happen.
You have anything more on TwitchCon?
No.
I got a segue.
Yeah.
I want to segue into the Oculus.
Oh, there is one more thing, if I can do it. If you want to, bring up the streamers. I just wanted to show an example of how many streamers there are. So the top streamers, I'm looking at a site called socialblade.com, and they list the top streamers and how many followers they have. And so it looks like the top streamer is Justin, because Twitch
TV, right?
It used to be called Justin TV. So I'm assuming this is the same guy as Tom or whatever.
Yeah, it's like Instagram has the most Instagram followers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's got almost 4 million followers, 3.7 million. But then the one below it is Syndicate, and I don't know what Syndicate is. It might be a group or it might be a publisher.
Probably a group. Sounds like a group.
So the first one that I kind of know of, Captain Sparkles, he's a big Minecraft. He's got 1.2 million, and then Lyric, which is another big one, he's got 1.1 million. So that's your goal, 1.1 million followers.
I'm on it.
So
got up to like 60 today.
Yeah, good job.
Look how far down PewDiePie is on this list.
But that's not what he does. That's not what he's using.
Yeah, YouTube is really where he puts most of his content.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30th. Still, I mean, that's very good. But
yeah, for sure.
I would have thought higher. Markiplier at 40.
all these guys that have these 400 plus subscriber or followers, they're making 100,000 plus a year, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I'd imagine. And do they make most of their money off of donations, or do you think are subscriptions?
So I was recently watching a League of Legends guy who doesn't use all these add-ins to do the donations and the subscribers and all this stuff. And he said that he gets 10% of his income from ads. He does 3 minutes of ads every time a League of Legends game ends. He does 3 minutes of ads. He says 10% of that of his income is from there. But he said the big
donations.
No, from just ads, 10%, and then the rest come from subscribers and donations.
Right.
So the big guys, he said, only make 3% to 1.5% from ads, which is why like the big guys, a lot of times don't even run ads. That you know, it's such a small part of them.
Wow.
But they're making so much money off their
donations
because
they have so many people.
Because they have so many people, right. You know, people sometimes donate 50, 100, 1,000, even more. So it's kind of interesting how the marketplace of Twitch is kind of evolving. Because it used to be people would play ads all the time because that would be their revenue stream.
So I would say maybe like the top 100 people here probably shit all over the top webcam girl, right?
Oh, no, I can't believe that.
You don't think so? I can't. What do you think the top webcam girl makes a year?
I don't know.
I mean, she's just going to throw around
numbers. I haven't even looked at the economics of webcam girls. I've actually looked into this, the Twitch.
Because economics. I'm thinking it's like, well, I don't know. What were we going to say about the females that do this? They covered this?
I watched a video of one of the top female streamers get a donation of $7,000.
Yeah.
Just like,
wow.
Her bank account just got $7,000.
Yeah. Like, I know there's some guy, like the guys in the UA? United Emirates?
Yeah.
Oh,
UAE.
UAE.
Yeah. They just drop cash sometimes, you know? Every once in a while, people just get $5,000 just randomly. It's awesome.
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. There's one more thing on Twitch. There are very few games that are specifically banned in Twitch, and I have a few of these, so I'm going to just name a couple of these. BMX, Triple X, Honey Pop.
Wait, that's a game and a porn. Did I get a point?
It's actually a game. Rape Lay, Battle Rape, Sakura Swim Club, which I think just recently came out.
That's a new one on Steam.
Second Life. Is Second Life? Second Life? Second Life?
Yeah. Wow. That's...
You know why? Because there's probably nudity and stuff in that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Dramatical Murder, Criminal Girls. Somebody recently got a second game he made banned, so it was kind of
I was surprised that one about, you know, being a mass murderer wasn't on there.
Yeah. You know, that game came out and really didn't cause as many waves as everyone thought it would.
It had already made its waves,
yeah.
I think, when it actually landed.
Yeah.
You can have a terrible premise with all sorts of bad things, but if the game just sucks, you're not going to get any traction.
Yeah. And I don't even think it was really a bad game. I just don't think it wasn't good, but yeah, I don't know. It came out and like it wasn't even a big deal. It's like I didn't even realize that it came out. I saw it on Steam and I was like, holy shit, I remember that. Like everyone had forgotten about it. That whole controversy that started, the game we're talking about is Hatred, by the way. Yeah, but the whole controversy was the best thing that ever happened to that game. It got it so much publicity. It's probably the only reason it sold a few copies, but yeah, it just wasn't that great of a game.
That's the one where you basically play as a school shooter, right?
Yeah, you just run around and you shoot people. You know what? Speaking of Twitch, though, I forgot about this until just now. I've gotten in the habit of watching Twitch before I go to bed. Instead of YouTube, I'll just watch usually people who stream Heroes of the Storm. It's probably not the best thing because I get all amped up and I'm watching the plays and then it's harder to get to sleep.
You need something more mellow.
Who's your favorite, exactly. Bobby?
Chew8. I'll watch him play. And
is
also,
he a pro?
No. I think he did used to play competitively at the very beginning, but not right now. And then Soldier, who's on Tempo Storm. I like watching him.
But what time do you go to bed, Bob?
9 o'clock.
I'll get on and I'll start streaming Sudoku.
Wow.
I'll start streaming Sudoku or Sudoku.
Yeah.
Or Sudoku. Yeah, and okay. You can go right to sleep. Yeah, nice and calm.
But I was looking at none of the channels I usually watch were on, so I was looking at who else was streaming Heroes of the Storm, and fucking Chocolate Rain, dude, Tayson Day is playing Heroes of the Storm. So I was like, click? Is this? And it was really him. And he is terrible at that game. Like, so bad.
But he still has this sultry voice, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he was... And it was like he hadn't played the game before.
Kids either. Have no idea what you're talking about with Chocolate Rain. YouTube that shit.
Yeah, Chocolate Rain, everyone.
I've actually never seen it. I know he has a deep voice, right?
Yeah.
Kind of something.
He just sings this song.
Yeah, he's got a really rich, like, baritone and type of
small.
Voice.
It's he's like
of,
a small, scrawny yeah. guy.
It's yeah. kind of back when viral wasn't even viral. Like,
yeah, when YouTube was just getting started.
Yeah, one of the first kind of...
Yeah. But there he is, just playing Heroes of the Storm. And he must have been in, like a really low MMR because he's playing people that... He won the game that I watched. And I was like, I don't know how you did that. But he's, like, walking in, trying to 1v2 people, just face tanking two assassins and... dying and like, well, I guess that didn't work. It's like, yeah, no shit, dude. But he was
gotta start somewhere, bro.
Yeah. But it was a trip to see that. Like, apparently he's doing the Twitch thing.
Cool.
Now so, you can do your segue.
Okay. Fuck, it's all trampled on now. So
shout it out first though. Segue.
Yeah, Oculus didn't have a convention. It was more just like a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Some information came out of there. It's going to be more than $300, they said, but that's what we already knew that. I was thinking between 3 and 5. Maybe a high end would be 6 to 7. Who knows?
They had always been talking about 2 to 4, which so the more than 300 now puts it in the three to four. Well, if they're following by their rules,
right. I'd be surprised if it's more than $400.
Yeah.
I did a little list of what you can buy for 300 on your PC.
Okay.
And that includes a monitor, a pretty high end monitor, a 970. You could get a 970 for about that amount. You can get a 1 terabyte solid state drive for about $300. You could even get a console for $300. I just find that surprisingly that a peripheral is going to be that much, and that's going to be on the cheap end for VR, right? Because Vive is going to be way more, right?
But these are the first products that are going to hit the market. Of course, it's going to be a little expensive at first. I mean, the Super Nintendo was like $250 when it came out initially. How much was a PlayStation 3 when those first came out?
400, right? Wasn't that the original price of PlayStation?
Yeah,
500.
I think it was 500.
Yeah. It's a new peripheral, though. How much are the new 4K monitors 2 years ago? How much are the first CRT or not CRT, but the first flat screen monitors?
Yeah,
versions and they'll be cheaper.
The reason I bring this up is because if I am a PC gamer and my choice is to get a 1 terabyte SSD and improve my hard drive, or to get a VR Oculus Rift, you know what choice?
Well, we don't know yet. We gotta wait till they come out and see what's up. But so anyway, they said that. And they also said that, so this is kind of weird. It's not confirming nor denying fucking Half-Life 3. They asked him about it. Will it be on VR? And the guy said no. And he goes, okay, but.
Okay.
Are you guys making it? And I said, I told you it's not going to be VR. Pretty much is what he said. So he didn't confirm that it's being made. But at the same time, if it is being made, it's definitely not going to be VR, which I think is a huge mistake.
Wait,
but they're way smarter than I am.
Why are they talking about Half-Life 3 on Oculus Rift when... Because
I think Valve had some representation there as well.
Yeah, but isn't Valve doing the...
I don't think it's like Coke and Pepsi. I think it's a little more... We worked on this together at the beginning, so...
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Valve's been pretty open source about that kind of stuff.
For sure. But... My tie-in, finally, is Carmack wants to make virtual esports stadiums, right? So we've talked about this before where, you know, maybe all of us are like sitting next to each other virtually watching a game go on, like right in front of you. And when the crowd cheers, everybody cheers. And you can hear, it's a virtual stadium, just everything you would think that it is. I can totally see that happening, and I think that's one of the coolest things that could possibly happen, because you know, every other glowing little image that you see is actually another person watching the same thing you are. Except for in this, it'd be way better than a regular stadium because you could get any kind of view that you would want, right? So you could fly in, whatever you want. And in between plays, you could look around. Anyway, whatever. Everything you could think of in a virtual stadium. Except for, as you were speaking, I was thinking, what about conventions? David is winning went to PAX and said that he missed out on all the stuff because he didn't know where to go. If you were there virtually, you could fast forward to whatever it was. Not just fast forward, like type in whatever you want. And you don't have to walk there. You would just zoom right to wherever that is.
Yeah.
And then watch it. That's really exciting. But not as much as stadiums. I mean, fuck. I would go to a virtual. I would pay money to go to a virtual game if it's something that I was into. And see all these other people. Like, crushing. What's the biggest stadiums now? 100,000? 80 to 100? Like soccer stadiums are huge, right?
NASCAR pulls in more than 500,000 on their big, like,
stadium.
Well, they have their 2-mile tracks, right? And all.
But could you imagine, like
Indy 500?
I know it's virtual, like, but a million, 2 million people. Yeah.
You guys got to read Ready Player One. They talk about all this kind of stuff. And they live in a world where this is real. Like, someone develops a thing that's basically the Oculus Rift called the Oasis, and everybody's plugged in all the time. And yeah, they do everything in a virtual world. But it's interesting that you would mention conventions, because BlizzCon is actually selling virtual tickets. And I bought one, actually. I'm going to try it out and see how it is. But they're selling virtual tickets to BlizzCon. And BlizzCon is like $200 to get a ticket. If you can get one, you can buy them off of eBay now for about $400 or $500. But $40 for the virtual ticket, and it gives you like exclusive access to all the panels and everything that's going on, and you can replay it and watch it whenever you want. So it's kind of the same thing you're talking about.
Plus, you get the bonuses.
Okay, you get the digital swag, but I don't know if you get like all the physical. I think you can pay a little extra and get the physical swag, but I'm not really interested in that. I don't know if it's going to be worth it yet or not, but I want to see what this is like, because I feel like that's going to be a growing trend. Because it's so hard to get a ticket to Comic-Con, BlizzCon. Yeah. Like, these things are just, they sell out, like, immediately when they go on sale. So I think this whole virtual thing is going to really be taken off.
Initially, the way I see this going now, and then I'm just thinking about it, they're going to get one of those all-encompassing cameras, the 360 in every direction cameras, plus probably one of those 360 drones. Before the convention opens, roll this thing throughout the convention and then fly the thing all around. And then now they have a 3D map of the convention, right? And then when you go in virtually, you can fly to wherever you want. And then if you get to a presentation, you can just click on it or whatever it is and watch the whole presentation. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet, so you have to wait until it's actually happened, but you could sit in a virtual audience and watch the whole thing. I suggest a lot of things over there. Like, they make fun of me because I like everything. But if you haven't seen Black Mirror, that is a must watch. It's a docudrama mini series.
BBC.
BBC. Really good stuff. There's only 3 episodes per season, and there's only 3 seasons, so you can knock that shit out right away. But one of the things was, just like we were talking about, it's kind of like a game show or some shit going on. It's kind of like some Running Man shit. But everybody in the audience is just represented as an emoji, basically. But those people are real people. They're mm-hmm. watching. And you can set your emoji to wherever you want. Like, oh, some shit just went down. You're the happy emoji, right? So the how much it's processing isn't much. It's just an emoji. But you can see the emotion of the entire crowd change really quickly when That's something cool. happens. Yeah, yeah. So I see all of this. All this. We're talking under 5 years, all of this, I think. If VR holds up to what I think it'll be.
I think it will. And I think this is even a better use for it than gaming, mm-hmm. honestly.
I did some research because I was looking at the Oculus stuff. I did some research on of course, the VR sex stuff going on, and they're making some advances there, too. I won't get into it too much, but that's going to also push the VR, I think.
Yeah, there's a thrustometer, right?
There, I saw this whole thing where it's like a fully three-direction motion. Whatever you're grabbing onto will grab wherever else in the... But They have attachments.
I lost you. What would you be grabbing onto?
Well, it's not only just a hand. Whatever they're doing, it shows up.
Like,
in the
like describe. Like, what would you be doing?
Fuck you. yeah. Should we get in the highlights and lowlights?
Yeah, we better. We're running along here.
That's what I told her? Or something? I don't know. That was.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, something.
Okay. So, Rainbow Six Siege. You guys have been playing this?
Yeah. So, when I upgraded, when I downloaded the new version of the NVIDIA graphics card drivers, it had a whole thing on it saying, hey, sign up for Rainbow Six Siege, closed beta. And so I did it. This was a couple months ago, just not even thinking about it. A couple of days ago, they said, hey, we're going to be kicking it off. Here's your code. I was like, sweet. All right, let's do it. There's people streaming on Twitch. So if you're interested, I also set Emilio up for all this. So he's ready to go on it. And he's been streaming it a little bit on the stream in the mornings. That game is a blast. I'm having so much fun. 5v5, so what? It's basically four rounds. You play once as defender, once as the attacker, once as defender, once as attacker. The first 30 seconds, the defenders are setting up. They get two fortifications each, so you can fortify a door, you can fortify a wood wall, you can fortify a wood floor. So each of them get to set up twice. The maps that I predominantly have played have been the bomb maps. So they're in this building that's like three or four floors, a bunch of rooms, and these bombs can show up anywhere in these rooms. So
what is there beside bombs? I played more games than you did.
There's two modes listed in the closed beta, and I've never played the other mode, so I don't know.
Huh.
I've only played the bomb mode. But while all that's going on, while they're fortifying and setting up, doing their traps and all, the attackers get these little wheel drones that get to wheel around. So these guys are trying to find where the bombs are at so they can prep for the attack. But the defenders can see those things and shoot them. So
you really feel like you're controlling a drone.
Yeah.
Because it's just two wheels and a camera. And so you can't rotate 360. It's back forward, or like you can go
turn
one.
Left, right.
Yeah, it's tank controls.
Yeah.
Tank controls. So, yeah, you're doing that stuff. But the CTs, did you ever run into the jammers? They can jam your controls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So that like your screen goes scratchy and stuff. But meanwhile, while this is all going on, it's kind of like one of those things where like, oh, they're boarding up these windows. They're obviously, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
But one game, there was some decoys where they were boarding up this whole place. That's not where the bomb was.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. There's a lot of like meta.
It's going to get so deep once 5v5 actual players on mic get to like sit and talk in these professional games. There's a whole bunch more meta than I think there's going to be in other first-person shooters. Anyways, after that 30 seconds is done, you've got the five attackers trying to go in, trying to defuse these bombs. One guy has a defusal kit. You're trying to get the defusal kit to the bomb, set it up, and then protect it while it's defusing the bomb. This is the basic premise of the bomb maps.
Yeah.
While the
graphics are really good.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Really good.
It's cool, too, because there's a ton of destructibles, but not all the destructibles are ways you can enter. And also, it completely eliminates the idea of choke points. These rooms do not have choke points because there's so many rooms, ways of entry. But the cost of entry is high because you're going to have to destroy walls. You can't just
make
sneak
noise.
Yeah, you have to make noise.
Yeah.
You have to spend time or ammo or whatever to do it. The attackers get these breach charges, which you can set up on anything. It looks like a big, like, I don't know, a big kind of explosive device, and it just blows
it
up whatever.
Sweet. It's like a flak jacket that they put on the wall or something. It's
yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to quickly run down what I really liked about this game. Just think Counter-Strike. It's basically Counter-Strike.
5v5 Counter-Strike.
5v5 Counter-Strike, which is what CSGO is. But it's more about a building, not a map. It's just a building. So it could be multiple levels, multiple points of entry. So many points of entry.
The attackers get repel. So you can like hook up onto the ceiling and repel up to the roof and come down the roof. Like no
well, you
entry
can change your
is
repel,
prevented.
The way that you're on your rope, you can change that. So I think it's attached to your belt.
Yeah.
So you can go upside down. or you could, like, you could do a bunch of stuff. And when you actually enter, like, I want to go into this window, it's that movie move that where you,
push
you
off.
Kick off and then you slide in, and it's action from in out, from there on in.
Yeah. So I had a whole, sorry, Bobby. I had this whole scene section where I was fighting a guy. I was outside rappelling, shooting through a window, and the dude was inside. And you could attack it from all four directions. Since you could turn upside down, you can come in from the top. So you, there's all these ways to kind of avoid getting just shot in the face as you turn the corner or whatever. It was really awesome.
Well, I remember the trailer for this, and it seemed heavily choreographed. How's the pacing on this game? Is it just run and gun, or is it more stealth?
It's more...
you can't really go stealth.
It's not stealth. So noise. It's more... It's like plotting. Not plotting, because that sounds negative.
It's strategic.
It's very strategic. Because each... It's when you die, there's no respawn. So
do you spend a lot of time in cover, or is it safer just
not,
to move around and be mobile?
It's not cover. It's more like the
attackers... Have you ever played a Rainbow Six game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a Rainbow Six game. Yeah, it's a Rainbow Six. As soon as you see somebody, they're dead, most likely.
Yeah, it doesn't take very much attack to kill them.
2 to 3 bullets.
So the chess moves you're making is trying to get to positions, because most of the time the attackers know where the bomb's at, and there's 2 bomb sites, so the defenders need to monitor both. So they're usually split up between the two, and then they hear gunfire going, and they're trying to cover, get back to one or the other. But they have all these protection areas, so the attackers can't move fast. There's, you know, barbed wire and all sorts of stuff to slow them down. So it's a lot of times the attackers are trying to sneak in a little bit, but you're not really sneaking because you got to blow up all these fucking protections. So you blow something up and then maybe attack a different way. A lot of, like, deception, sneaking, doing one move and then a counter move sort of stuff. It was awesome. I've really liked this game so far.
Here's my favorite round that I had. So we went up on the roof, and we knew that the bomb was on the top floor in the kids' room. So we, you know, everything's all boarded up. It's obvious that it's in there. I was like, I'm telling my partner, I'm gonna break this, and I'm gonna throw a grenade, and then hopefully kill everybody in there, and then we'll go in there or whatever.
Like big arrows.
He's like, no. He's like, I got this thing. We put it on the wall, and it sprays poison on the other side of the wall.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, sweet. Do that. So I don't know if you put it on backwards or it shoots both ways, but he puts it on and gets sprayed in the face right away, and he falls over. He's like, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, you got killed by your own pimp. Right? He's like, get me up, God. Right? So I'm getting him up, and the CT on the inside breaks down the wall and it shoots me while I'm trying to fucking massage this guy to safety. So that
you're jerking him off. Yeah. The dude just shoots you in the face.
But let me run down through some stuff that I really enjoyed and what I didn't like. I'll go through the things I didn't like real quick. I think this suffers a little bit from what Evolve had. It's a one-trick pony from what I've seen. There's only so much that can happen. You'll never play two games exactly the same, for sure. That's not going to happen. But the parameters that are set are pretty... Like, the CTs can't go outside. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So I'm like, okay, obviously the best move here is wait for them to enter, come in behind them, and shotgun their assholes, yeah. Right? That's the kind of thing that I do. Like, I love shotgun. Yeah. Shotgun assholes. And so as soon as I go outside, they're like, you're not allowed out here. Wink. Like they know where you're at. It doesn't work. So,
well, because the game is set up, there's no terrorist side. Both sides are police sides. So I think it's set up as an exercise. And in rooms, you'll see, like, dummies holding guns and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of mannequins.
So I think the game premise is around a training exercise, not an actual...
I never put that together, but yeah, you're totally right. So another thing that I really liked were the cameras. When you die in Counter-Strike, I don't even know what the meta is right now, but you ghost. You ghost your teammates.
Yeah, you can just
around and you're like, hey, there's a guy right here, there's a guy right here. You can only ghost where there's still cameras. So if the invading force hasn't shot out the cameras, you don't get those angles. Mm-hmm. Or if they have or haven't, whatever. But also on the invading forces side, those little drones, after you're done doing your thing, if you haven't got shot to shit, you park that shit right under a couch at a tactical position, and that gives your team a better vantage point. From when, once you die, you can access any one of the drones.
Oh, but most of them are dead. Yeah.
So you not only do you want to find the bomb, but before the round starts, you want to park it in a nice little corner where nobody's going to see you, and then that'll add it. You know, you can ghost. Huh. Ghosting is not when you're dying. When once you've died, you have responsibilities.
Gotcha.
You're supposed to ghost and tell your friends what's going on.
Because I was trying to just find a good angle to watch the action, and wasn't having any
good
time.
Actively talking to them and telling them what's up, and it's
cool.
Big. It's really big. Two guys coming up the stairs right now. Watch your left, like all that stuff. It's really cool. That way you don't get bored while you're waiting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really good.
The rounds are quick, by the way. Like it's a 3-minute timer, I think, for the rounds.
Yeah, very quick. The setup is maybe a minute.
30 seconds on setup, and then you have the 3-minute round.
Two to 3 minutes. I mean, how long did it actually last, though?
Yeah.
But
we're also playing just 5 randoms versus 5 randoms. When you have all this teams and actual coordination, it's going to be a whole different game.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be like a $60 game? Like, it looks AAA. It is AAA.
I don't think there's a single-player element to the game, so... So I don't know about that.
I think it might be free to play. I don't think it is.
No, I don't think. But another interesting thing is the operators. So the operators are the guys that you're using, and they're not. It's not exactly classes, but once you start earning the coins or whatever it is from playing, you can start unlocking operators. So your default operator is just the guy with the gun. He's just a default guy. But then you can start unlocking attacking operators and defending operators. So, for example, an attacking operator that looks really cool is Sledge. I think his name's Sledge. Uh-huh. And his primary weapon is a sledgehammer. And his sledgehammer will just fuck up any fortification that's there. He's a fortification fucker-upper. But he only has a secondary weapon. So he's basically, the guy that they see that they show in cop dramas that has the big... hammer to break down the door.
Yeah,
he's that guy. Then he gets the fuck out of the way while other people do the shooting. But then they got guys that have like
the shield guy,
the full shield. One guy has the shield that will go all the way down the feet, so he's there, and all these different operators. So it's got a sniper MMO feel where they can continue to create operators to do. To fill different niches and stuff like that.
That's why I was thinking free to play might work here because they have so many unlocks. But who knows? It's going to be a $60 game, though. I can see that.
It's got the production value of a $60 game.
But I do not see esports coming out of this.
Oh, really? Because I'm the complete opposite. I could see this not necessarily overtaking CSGO, but having that whole separate, this is the Siege first person shooter.
I see it.
Top line.
I know what you're saying because I was thinking that at first, but then I played multiple games and then I was like, okay, it's getting kind of repetitive. There's not, but CSGO is the same thing too. I don't know what sets CSGO apart. Another thing, probably my favorite thing in the entire game is when you're sitting in a basement and you're with your buddies and you can hear them start to break in from different vantage points or entry points, and it gives you that Night of the Living Dead kind of feeling because they're just humans or whatever, but it's spooky as shit because the sounds are so good. The when they breach a big door, like boom, something goes off, you can see the dust come off of the ceiling, and you're in the basement, it's like, and you're like, oh shit. It's campers versus attackers, right? Classic thing. But when you start hearing these sounds and the voices start going off and you hear the voices, they're talking to each other. You can hear them talking to each other if they're close enough. And they're like, oh, maybe my corner isn't the good corner. So you're going over to this other corner. And so you start to panic as they're coming because they're coming. That's the greatest part of this game for me. It's fun. It's really fun. Just like Bobby said 3 months before Evolve came out, is this all you got? It's great, but is this all you got?
Yeah.
So, but I will say, in Evolve, the monster can run. If you're finding a good monster, the first 5 minutes are boring because he's really good at what he's doing. He's evading you.
Yeah,
you're just running around.
I think because a game in Rainbow Six, because it's only 3 minute rounds, 4 minute rounds, counting the setup, it's going to be a little bit more faster paced and kind of keep you on your toes a little bit more. So Evolve, it just, there was a lot of downtime. There's a lot of lag. But I see what you're saying. I mean, this seems like a game mode and not a full game. And it all depends on how they market it. I mean, where Evolve really fucked up is the way they did it with all the DLC and with all the extra shit. I mean, if they say, hey, $20 and there it is, you know, boom. That's the game that you get. I mean, that would, I think people would really respond to that. But if they were like, you know, a $60 game plus, you know, buy the season pass for $20, like, people are going to react negatively to that.
Yeah. Do you have interest in playing this game, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, I want to check it out. I haven't played a good first person shooter like versus competitive in a while, so I got to give something like that a shot.
So I don't know what your takeaway here is, guys, from what everything we said, but Chad and I both really enjoy it. It's really fun.
Do they have a release date? We'll see
if we can recommend it once they come up with their pay model.
Yeah. Well, do they have a release date for this yet?
I am not sure. Chad? No.
Rainbow Six.
It's in closed beta right now. So, it's working really, really well. So,
I didn't hit a single bug.
I did many times.
And this is going to be on...
Again, I played more.
Uplay? Yeah. Not Uplay. What's the other one?
This is Uplay, yeah.
Oh, it is Uplay.
Yeah, it's That's a Ubisoft game.
That you can get it. I wonder if it'll be on Steam.
It is on Steam. You can pre-order on Steam right now, and pre-ordering on Steam gets you access into the closed beta. So if you really want to play it and you really want to play it now, I think you can get onto Steam and pre-order it and get into the...
I think you can get a closed beta key for like $1 or $2 on G2A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So in the highlights and lowlights, there's probably 20 games listed. Bob, do you have one on there?
Yeah, I've got two...
Okay. Because I want to, you know, give you your time. I don't know where to put you.
Well, maybe he should stop playing so much Heroes of the Storm and we'll give him some more time.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Let me jump into Metal Reaper Online because I brought it up early in the podcast and I kind of want to get into it.
Okay.
Metal Reaper Online on Steam, free to play. It's kind of similar to other free-to-play MMOs where you can spend money to get upgrades and do other things. I didn't even look into it because I had no interest in spending money. I just kind of wanted to see what the game was about. The game itself is kind of fun.
This is the Diablo one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of isometric, top-down, running around. The map's kind of overlaid on top of you. It's kind of taking place in the near future, so you can buy like guns that are sort of around now. Like real sniper rifles or real AKs and Uzis and stuff like that.
Let me bring this up real quick. What is your guys' favorite gun in games? Generally, the one that you go to. Obviously, you always go with the most powerful, whatever. But if there's an option. For me, I'm only bringing this up because I was really thinking about it. Because I'm going to get into CSGO next week.
Uh-huh.
Carbine is always my thing. Carbines always work for me. That's the one that's... It's usually more powerful.
M4 carbine or whatever?
Anything carbine. Usually it has a little more power than the fully automatics because it's every click.
Oh, gotcha.
You can click as fast as you like.
Gotcha.
And I really love that gun. You guys have a preference? I know it's a very broad thing, but, you know, there's...
I don't know. Usually an assault rifle. M16, AR-15, or AK-47.
So spray and pray.
Yeah, usually something like that has, you know, it's good like medium or close range, and I can just scattershot. I never go sniper in games. Yeah.
See, I suck at first-person shooters, so I tend to jump around because I'll play for a while, and then I'll be, like, pissed off because something happened, and then I'll switch up styles. So yeah.
Shotguns are fun, but I don't think they're that effective.
Yeah.
Shotguns are the best thing there is.
I think in single-player games, I like using shotguns, but in multiplayer, playing against other people... Not as effective, so yeah, usually an assault rifle.
All right, sorry.
So the game is fun. I actually played for a couple hours, and then I thought I was not going to pick it up again. But the next time I came back to the computer, I thought about it, and I was like, I'm going to play some more. You level up kind of quickly. There's skills that you can level up. They've got skill trees and all. They've got different rarities of items, and you can kind of uncraft items to craft more items and do all sorts of stuff like that. So it's similar to MMO in that. But however, the two things just kill this. The translations are just absolute shit. I laughed every time I read anything. More if you click more than twice, you've read something that is just ridiculous.
Wait, is it shit then? If it was making you laugh the whole time, that's comedy gold, son.
Yeah, if you are interested in reading some funny shit, like it worse than like the bad villain in some campy
I walked in while Chad was playing it. He's shaking his head at his monitor. He didn't even know I'm behind him. He's just shaking his head.
It is really bad. Anything that I brought up at the beginning of the podcast, this kicks all of that's ass. Like, it will never hit the mainstream, so it will never be like hugely popular, but it's just terrible. The other thing is...
Well, even the title, Metal Reaper, doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's like a... You know, somebody that takes in recycled metals. That's a Metal Reaper.
The game also... You're shooting these weapons, just every once in a while, the enemies don't feel like taking any damage for a couple seconds. Like, it's got latency and kind of lag issues. People are kind of running all over the place because it's an MMO, so people are running all over your map. A bunch of people are all trying to do the same mission and everything like that. So... I had fun. It's free to play, so I can't like not recommend it. But I couldn't see any way where I'd like it enough to spend any amount of money on this game. But if you're interested in trying out some Diablo-esque top-down kind of shooter game, it was kind of fun. I played some hours into it and had a good time.
I try to avoid games that have the word online in them.
That's true. Well, because this is, they call themselves an MMO, so you can't play offline, so I can see why they had that. Yeah.
Usually online, they add that to games that are already have existing titles in the franchise, and now this is like the MMO version, and they're usually trying to sap money out of you for microtransactions or boosters or stim packs or something. Anyway.
All right, Bobby, what did you play this week?
I played a game called The Magic Circle.
Oh, yeah, you were playing that.
Yeah, weird title. And I've actually had my eye on this game for a long time. I first heard about it on another podcast. They had mentioned it, and right away the idea of the game just struck me, and I was like, all right, I got to check that out. Came out on Steam, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so, and it was on sale recently. Retails for $20, but it was on sale for $13, so I picked it up. And it's a game about a game, really. It's a puzzle game, like an adventure puzzle game, and you play someone, a player, a tester, they don't know, but you're stuck inside of a half-finished video game. Not really a half-finished video game, but a game that's been stuck in development hell, like a game that was originally produced in the 90s, and then it kept getting reworked, and the creators couldn't decide on things, so they kept changing it, kind of like Duke Nukem.
Is this the one where you write code?
Yeah.
You
don't really write code.
There's another game that's like a top-down that you can actually type code in.
Oh, okay.
This is a different one.
But you, as a player or whatever you are in this, walk around and you can edit the code of things in there to solve puzzles and make it through. And you kind of learn about the game's history and its creator. The creator of the game is kind of like this, he's a famous game designer like a Ken Levine or a Peter Molyneux or something like that, who was really popular in the 90s. And the game just kind of went off the tracks. So it's pretty cool. I like it. The puzzles, I don't think, are really that challenging. There's really not too many of them. It's at this point that I'm at, it seems more about the story. But it's really cool to walk around the environment. And if you don't play games, you're not going to get any of this. This is definitely made for people who played a lot of games. You're going to get a lot of the jokes and understand what they're going for. So another thing that I noticed about this is the guy who plays the lead designer or the creator of the game is the guy who voices him is Dr. Venture from the Venture Bros. I don't know if you guys ever watched that show. You don't hear that guy's voice in a lot of places. Josh Urbaniak, I think it is. But as soon as I heard it, I was like, holy shit, it's that guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is a very distinct voice.
I got a quick side note.
Mm-hmm.
Voice actors are discussing whether or not they're going to go on strike. I don't know if you guys
have heard about this.
So they're, I don't know how impactful that will be for video games, because video games have such a long development cycle. Even if they go on strike right now, we probably won't have any impact for a year or two. But there is potential that all these top name voice actors could be on strike.
Wow.
It's, I think they're more interested in CG movies and stuff of that nature.
It pays so much more.
Well, because one of the contentions is voice actors don't know when they're going to have to also do motion capture until they're told they have to do motion capture and stuff like that. So there's some things going in there that there it might have potential of impact of games coming down the road.
It's a growing market. By leaps and bounds, it's a growing market. So I think the disparity between if you do a voice on Minions and you do a voice on The Last of Us, I think the disparity there is gigantic. Yeah, like really, really big.
Yeah.
Because I've heard, I listen to a lot of podcasts of people in entertainment, and they say it's the easiest money you can make. Like, ridiculous amount of money. You just voice a character.
But for movies only, is what you're saying.
And then when you go into a game, you got this outcome of this sentence and this out. There's multiple scripts as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, there's a good documentary called I Know That Voice. It's all about voice actors. And they talk about games a little bit. It's done by the guy who voices Bender from Futurama, but he also does voices in Gears of War. But they talk about games and how much more work that is than just doing a movie. And they also kind of talk about how there's people who do voice acting, and then there's celebrities who come in and just lend their voice to a project. So if you have, you know, a popular celebrity come in and voice a character, everybody knows it's that celebrity. He's not really doing a voice, you know, but you have people who...
But if they're an actor and they're being themselves, they're acting.
For example, Metal Gear Solid 5, the main character is Kiefer Sutherland.
He just talks.
He's
probably acting.
I mean, he's acting in the sense that when the scene calls for him to be scared, he's acting scared, but he's not acting in a different voice.
It's a scared.
A scared.
Yeah. Okay. And that's acting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I think what Bobby's saying is there's people that do voices, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's not doing another voice. He's doing Kiefer Sutherland as...
But see, Eddie Murphy as the donkey.
It's Eddie Murphy, you know? It's like Eddie Murphy as
an exaggerated donkey like Eddie Murphy.
It was Eddie Murphy as his donkey.
Yeah.
But if you have people who are actually like professional voice actors, they're building a character with a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying, okay, what do you want? How old is this girl? You know, is she shy? Is she quiet? Is she loud and obnoxious? Does she have a lisp? Like, what's her voice like? And they build this character, and then they animate to that. But if you just have, like, you know, Keanu Reeves come in and say, I don't think he voice acts. A better example would be, like, I don't know, who's that guy with the nose?
Oh.
Owen Wilson. Like, if he comes in and does that turkey movie, you know, it's just like, hey, it's Owen Wilson as a turkey. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a little bit of a difference there, and I think some voice... I don't know what the strike's about, but I think some voice actors are kind of upset. I know the guy who voices Fry from Futurama has spoken out against this like multiple times that, you know, he's upset about celebrities coming in and taking voice acting jobs.
What's his name that does Shrek himself? That's not his real voice, but that is one
Michael
of the
Myers.
Yeah, Michael Myers. He's worked on that shit for years, right?
Mm-hmm. But he is a voice actor. Even when he does regular acting, he does voice acting with it.
That'll do, donkey, that'll do.
Yeah. Anyways, get back to your game.
Oh, the magic circle. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to talk more about this next week. I just wanted to touch on it lightly here. I've only played a few hours, and at first I was really impressed with the game. Then I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, the puzzles could be a little bit better or whatever, but I'm not even that far into it, so I can't really make a judgment call on it yet. But they do take you through, like kind of that other game, Evoland 2, they take you through different areas. Like, you're walking through a half-finished game, and it's like, oh, this is the part that they made in the 90s. Everything's all pixelated and weird. And then you go out to another part of it where instead of being sci-fi, it's fantasy, and now it's got a little bit higher resolution graphics.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. And it's,
explain me, like, one of the puzzles. Like, how would you incorporate
code?
Yeah, code, or bringing something in to solve it.
You can right-click on something and or left-click, and it will let you edit that thing. So, like, there's a cyber rat running around, and you click on it, and you can say, okay, the cyber rat's allies are me, the hero, and its enemies are the howlers, and it moves by ground or it moves by float if I want it to fly. And then I could say its attack is melee or its attack is the repulsor. You know, you can program it to act certain ways.
And these are all easily navigatable mm-hmm. menus?
It's a screen and you just click on the ones that you want.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to type anything in. But the cool. interface that comes up is really cool looking. It's like all this code flying around and you're clicking on the things. So I really like the looks of this game.
So far, though, you feel like it's worth the 13, 14 oh, yeah. bucks?
Definitely. Oh, you don't know yet. Oh, no, it is already.
I'd say so, nice. Yeah. I do like this game. I think it got an 80 awesome. On Metacritic. And I'd say, yeah, that seems accurate.
They should have added more realism to it and not had it come out for 5 years. So it could have been super meta. Like, it was a game that never yeah. came out.
Well, they kind of did do so that. Yeah. They did a little bit of guerrilla marketing. Like, the website for this... for this game looked like it was made in the 90s, and it had like all this stuff about the game finally coming out. Like they did try to do that
straight
a bit.
Duke Nukem,
yeah,
just cock punching Duke Nukem.
Yeah, you can see in some of these screenshots.
Oh, it's first person.
Yeah, it's first person, and these eyes that you see in some of the screenshots. Yeah, it's a good looking game. See, these are the designers of the game, and you overhear their conversation about the development. And one of the designers is like an ex-pro gamer who's a woman, and they have like a new recruit that comes in. And then you can see that weird kind of colorish thing in the grid. That's when you click on something and you can edit it. So it's, you know, it breaks the fourth wall. It's a game about a game.
Right.
Awesome.
I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great idea for a game, and it's something different.
Man, it's pretty looking. I like it.
It's not as out there as Her Story, which I talked about last week, but
yeah,
I definitely
which
enjoy
I have
it.
No interest in.
So, I used G2A for the first time. I bought CSGO. I'm going to start streaming that
How
next
much
week.
Cheaper was it than Steam?
About $12 cheaper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think $20 is what it goes for. I might be wrong.
$14.99.
Oh, is it $14.99? I bought it for like under $9.
Okay.
Between $8 and $9, something like that.
Decent saving.
Sorry, I thought it was $20. So anyway, I'm going to start streaming that next week. My whole angle is haven't played this in 15 years.
Haven't played this version at all.
Yeah, at all. Let me see how far I can go up the ranks, whatever the fuck. Anyway, that's... neither here nor there.
I think we should stop the podcast real quick.
This is the first time Bobby's ever
first
peeps.
Time. Yeah. First time Bobby. How many episodes have we gone through?
Well, like, it's second time.
I've never seen Bobby go to the bathroom. And this is the first time I've witnessed it.
I've gone 9 times since we started today. Yeah. So.
Emil's gone more times in one podcast than Bobby's ever gone.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. So I have a weak bladder. My bladder game is weak. Sorry.
Anyways, get back into it. CSGO.
No, G2A is what I'm talking about. So they had a couple other things. They had Dungeon Defenders 2 for 32 cents. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's like brand new game, pretty much.
Why don't you?
I grabbed one of those. And then I was like, ooh, what else can I spend money on, you know? Now that I'm a big baller.
I got $13 to spend. Yeah. Let's spend some money, bitches.
I bought one of these random games, random Steam code game or whatever. And
was it actually random or did you go and pick a game?
No, it's completely random.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much was it for the random game code?
I think like a dollar.
Should we give a shout out to...
No, not yet.
Okay.
So about a dollar... And then, so I grabbed it, and then what it unlocked was Bard to the Future. Bard to the Future.
So you got ripped off.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty bad. Think Shovel Knight if Shovel Knight sucked, and the controls were shitty, and... But
I think it's worth the dollar just to hear you talk about how shitty this game is.
That's why I think I'm going to do this every week. Yeah, so...
A new segment, Emil's shitty game?
Yeah, G2A's random code generator playing... I might stream it, too, just to see what we get. I gave away a bunch of them, too, today. But anyway, don't play this game. But I will say... That the voice acting.
You're talking about Bard to the Future, not.
Bard to the Future.
Not CSGO.
Yeah. Bard to the Future, I will say that the voice acting was superb for something.
Which we now learn that he got underpaid for.
You know the graphics from Super Mario 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were better. Right. So take that, right? But you get some voice acting where they really, I mean, they really, I'm not kidding. They did a good job. Like, the guy's very like, you know, like, hey, you know, kind of yeah. warrior, like, I've got this. And then he goes into the future and he meets some LARP. So he meets some LARPers.
Okay.
But the LARPers think that he's a LARPer. And
a side
he thinks
note,
that they're real wizards.
Side note, LARPing is live action role playing. So if you ever see, if you hear LARPing, that's what we're
or
talking about.
If you've
about.
Seen the movie Role Models and you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or the classic YouTube clip of the guy shouting
lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt. That's LARPing.
And so, you know, the story's not bad, but it's just the game is dog shit. I'm not going to talk anymore about it. Don't buy it. Actually, if you have it, try to get a refund. It's pretty fucking bad.
All right, but you're going to play CS:GO next week. You bought it, but you haven't played it yet.
And I think I might make a whole thing about buying. I'm going to talk to G2A about like buying these things and like seeing what we get and putting it out. Because you got some decent games.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Cool.
I have a bunch of stuff, so let me talk briefly about something. Oh, I bought this game. Middle of the week, I kind of was fucking around with Steam. They had like 300 plus games on sale. I clicked on it, organized it by user reviews, started going down the top. Actually, I organized it by cheapest game. Cheapest game. The first grouping that came up was 19 cents. And I'm like, I'm going to grab one of this 19 cents. If it's less than 20 cents, I'm going to buy something and fuck around with it. One of the games was a shmup game, which is...
Shmup?
Yeah, it's the term for...
Is that a category?
Yeah, the shooter games that are top-down, usually top-down, kind of Raiden-esque games.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. It was called Saviors. It's also called Star Saviors. I played this for a couple hours. Well worth the 19
couple
cents.
Couple hours?
Yeah. Wow. Well worth the 19 cents that I played on the pay for this game.
I feel like I'm losing money not owning this right now.
It's really...
2 hours for
the
19 cents.
The question is, do you Steam share it or do you just pay the 19 cents to do it? So if you have 19 cents and like top down, Star Saviors was a fun game. I played for a couple hours. I enjoyed it. A lot of shit on it is cheesy, but the actual gameplay was done well. And it was kind of interesting. After you go through the levels, you kind of earn XP, and then you are unlocking stuff. And prior to the start of the level, you set up, because it's got a whole mechanic where you can shoot forward. So both your guns kind of are shooting forward, or you can push spacebar, and then one gun is shooting forward, and the other ones are shooting to the side. Okay. So they'll have guys coming from the back or the side, which you don't normally see in this style game. So it was kind of cool. And no real complaints other than the fact that it was... Obviously, not a whole big budget spent on it, but it was done well. So
wow,
19 nice. Cents.
There's a bunch of 19 cent games out
That's
there.
Saviors,
that, Saviors. Yeah,
they make these games for super cheap, and they put them out there, and they put Steam cards on them because people will buy them up. If it's got Steam cards, people will just immediately buy them. So it's a guaranteed
sale. For the hell of it.
Yeah,
we should make one.
We should. Just the three of us staring at the screen. we'll make it a live action.
Yeah, we probably
similar
could.
To her story. All right, what else did we play?
Metal Gear Solid 5, go ahead.
I'm going
to run through the last.
Oh, line. Am I the last big one?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I wanted to preface this by saying I played it on a console because I have a free copy on the console or I could pay $60 on the PC. So I chose to play it on the console. So I'm going to just talk about the game itself, not anything about graphics or sound or anything like that, because I don't want to taint my opinion by a console game.
I think we can all agree that, I mean, it's aces all around.
Yeah.
There hasn't been complaints out of anywhere, so this is probably one of the better games to be
correct.
Able to do this.
And especially,
if you had you done this on Batman, it wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, correct. Especially considering Konami is now... not doing AAA titles anymore, and there's all these stories coming out that they're not... Anyways, this might be the swan song for Konami, and it might be one of the best games that Konami has made, because the game itself is really good, and I'm not a stealth person. I don't enjoy stealth, and it kind of forces you... They've got a whole base building aspect on it where you've got to collect guys and collect money and collect resources. And the best way to do that is to go through the do it stealth mode, because you stealth in, you disable a guy, and then you can attach the balloon, pop him up into space, you know, pop him up, and he now becomes part of your crew on your base. So if you're doing the run and gun, you can definitely do it, but it's not going to contribute to your base building. So at least early on in the game, you're really forced to do stealth mode. But these missions are difficult. The earliest missions... okay, let me preface this again by saying the first hour and a half Amino talked about is basically an interactive movie. Stuff, shit's going down, all sorts of crazy shit.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It was great, right?
Stressful, emotional, yeah. Impactful. It was really good.
Blockbuster level stuff, I said. Yeah.
But it's not related to the gameplay at all. Like, this is... I'm doing this, and then we're going to switch to gameplay.
Yeah.
And
you're in the desert.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Once you're in the desert, though, the first mission is to get your guy back. So they do this hour and a half mission, and then they put you in this set mission, which is doing the normal gameplay, but it's a specific mission. You can't avoid it. You can't go around it. To get you, not Ocelot. What's the other guy's name?
Who cares? Yeah. Billy Bobby.
Kazuhira or something like that. So once you get through those two missions, which you've already spent 2.5 hours, 3 hours of this game on, then you get to the actual game. And the game is really cool. I can't complain anything other than it's so heavily stealth-based that I have a hard time getting into it.
About as good as stealth can get.
Yeah.
Right? I don't see stealth getting any better.
It's really good.
Yeah.
My only complaint is it's all desert. There's some grassier parts and there's some mountaineer parts, but there's no city part. There's no water part. Yeah. So it's all...
You're in Afghanistan.
Yeah. It's pretty all standard looking. And maybe if they do another version with city, that would be really cool because they really didn't do anything related to city. I've probably completed 6 or 7 missions, but 6 or 7 missions because I'm redoing missions 8 times because I get halfway through and then get spotted and then want to restart.
Oh,
and
then I get fuck. That's when I bring out the big boys.
No, I'm trying to do it stealthier.
Come out of the water, blood coming down my face. Yeah, I just mow them all down. Fuck them. You shot your own dude. I don't care, dude.
Have you gotten to the dog part where you get to use your dog and everything like that? I haven't gotten there either, but I hear it. It's really. This game is awesome. It really is really good, and. The missions are set up nice. They say it's open world, and I guess it is in a certain way, but you can't go into the mission unless you're back at the helicopter and set the mission. So once you're done with your mission, you can keep roaming around and do whatever, but it's...
There are auxiliary missions that you can ride your horse to, but...
Yeah. It's more like you set the mission, but the mission level is huge, so it almost feels open world anyways. And then they have this whole base building aspect where you're building the base up and you can send your guys on missions and they're collecting resources. There's a mobile app that goes along with it.
Anybody know why we're building the base? Like, what does that gain you in the... maybe you got a better ending, the bigger your base is?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I haven't gotten that far. But they explain why you're building your military.
You want to rebuild.
But I don't know. Everything you had. It's not like Mass Effect where you have to hit a certain readiness level or anything like that.
Any questions, seen. Bob? No, not about this game. You know, this is one of those games.
Wake up, Bobby.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's talking about Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, everywhere I go, everybody's talking about this game. And I have no idea why I'm not interested in it at all. And I think that's because I've never played a Metal Gear game. I have no buy-in.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying about the weirdness and how it wouldn't matter if you played any...
True. Bobby, I've never played another Metal Gear Solid game.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter. It throws you into the middle.
Well, I'm not saying I would need to know that for the story or for any other reason, but the fact that, I mean, Metal Gear Solid has a history of being a really good game, and people were really excited about this one coming out. But, like, none of this, Hideo Kojima, Konami, Metal Gear Solid, none of that has any resonance with me.
I'm the same way. That's why I've put it off this long. Like, mm-hmm. It's been out a couple weeks, and I had no interest in picking it up. but so much positive hype has happened on this game that I felt like I had to. And as soon as I jumped in the game, I was like, I don't give a shit.
Well, it's a GTA 5 situation. I didn't start playing that game until months after it came out on the PC. And, you know, that's like almost 2 years after it came out on the console. So at some point, I will play this game, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
This is probably the best game out of Japan in like the last 3 years or something. Something like that.
It's really good.
I mean,
now that you're playing it more,
Smash Brothers is really good.
You had talked about how Mad Max was your preferred one.
Yeah.
Now that you're still playing it.
I haven't gone back to this.
You should.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we were talking about Mad Max last week, I was thinking about that, and I realized you guys hadn't played Shadow of Mordor, right? You guys
I played it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Okay. Hours. I played hours.
Yeah. I didn't play as much as you two.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's one of those six to 10 hours I probably played.
Yeah. That game was
really good. So I was thinking, if you guys had played,
it was good too.
I think it took me a little over maybe 15, 20 hours to beat that game. But I was thinking that if, you know, that might have been the reason I didn't enjoy Mad Max as much, because there are so many similarities between the two games.
Hmm.
I mean,
maybe that's why I
enjoyed it. Not stylistically.
I just jumped out of it. All right. So I got back into Darkest Dungeons. We talk about it over here all the time. It's one of our favorite games. Collectively, it's one of these few games that we all agree on wholeheartedly. Anyway, there's been a lot of patches. There's three new dudes. One I haven't seen yet. I've been trying to unlock him, but the Houndmaster is everything that I want him to be. He's a little OP. The first Houndmaster that I had was, I named him Emilio, and, he's so good. He does massive damage from the back line, and he can also heal himself and take on the stress of his teammates. When he heals himself, he kind of like hugs his little dog and stuff. It's awesome. It's really, really good. The other things, the trinkets are a little more useful now. Before, the trinkets were more like, I'm clearly not going to use this. It'd be nice, but I'm not going to use this. Now it's more like 50-50. There's also a few other tweaks here and there. The game's only gotten better since I played it. It's a little easier.
Is this still early access? Why?
I think so.
He should just
make it out. He's working on it.
I know, but people still do patches after it comes out and does it. Sure. Like, this game's a finished product.
I might be wrong. It might be out, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it was a finished product when it came out, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
It was so good. Let's see. What was the last thing I was going to say?
Still early access, yeah.
Yeah, still early access. If you haven't picked this up already, you need to get this game. This game is just a game player's game, for sure. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah.
I need to see the show notes, please, Bob.
$19.99 is still selling for $20.
It was on sale for $13.99. Oh, and it's on G2A for about that
right now. Yeah, I think I bought it for $15, and it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah. Well worth it.
Okay,
Fistful of Guns, so, should we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of... It's a roguelike...
A Fistful of Gun is the title of it. It came out this week. And so it's a straight top-down twin-stick shooter. But it's not a twin-stick shooter because each of the 9 different characters you can choose from have a different control scheme. So maybe one guy uses A and B to fire, and so whichever way you're running is the way it shoots. Or another guy you can use a mouse and keyboard with. Like, so it's kind of all over the board on how it wants to... The control schemes are part of the customization of this game.
Yeah, it's kind of one of these things where, like, we could have made this easy, but it's a little fumble core, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little fumble core. It's trying to fuck you up by the way you put an input or your character, and it's extremely hard. It's really, really hard.
David is winning. Watch this just lose again and again.
Yeah,
and
talking
again.
Just shit the whole time. Yeah. He's like, wow, you guys are really good at this game.
Yeah.
But,
listener, David is winning.
Yeah, what were you saying? What you call it, the Raiden type game?
Shmup? Yeah.
Are you sure? Did you not make that shmup now?
You can Google
it. Anybody? That was a great pun. Anybody? Did you make that shrup right now? No? All right.
Stupid.
Shmup?
Shmup, see?
What?
Shoot 'em up.
Shmup is
so short for shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, me neither.
God, cool. Yes.
So it's a shmup.
It's a...
Goddamn, I feel like...
must be a console thing.
I feel like a schmuck saying shmup.
Now anyway, you know. The more you know.
So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a raid in like little 2D, but it has the fumble core on top of it. It's so hard.
It's really hard. It's up to 2 players co-op. I thought it was up to 4 players. Maybe it is. We were playing 2 players. We were having fun. We played some story and some arcade version of it. And it's fun. It's getting a lot of positive reviews on Steam.
It reminds me a lot of Nuclear Throne if you played that. It's very similar to that. Hmm. But I'd say it's better than Nuclear Throne. I didn't get into Nuclear Throne.
Well, it's got to be better than Crawl, right?
Yeah. So I just put that in there really quick. Crawl sucks. We loved it. I loved it so much the first time we played it. And then we tried playing it recently, and it was just kind of like...
You guys kept complaining about the graphics. And I wasn't really feeling the graphics being as bad as you were saying they were. But it's true. Like, sometimes you can't see what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the game itself has a cool idea, but it's...
No, it's a great concept.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's going to take that and put it...
Maybe Crawl 2 if they're doing
it. Yeah, sure. Still working on it. I think it's probably still early access, whatever. So we're just going to run down these.
Fistful of Gun was $15, but it's, I think, 20% off. It was about $11. I don't think I could recommend it for $11, though.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Yeah.
$2-$3.
Something like that.
Yeah. So Black Mesa, Sam, my girlfriend, Samantha, I wanted to see, I know she's a gamer, but it's kind of like a casual thing. Like, maybe I can make her a real gamer. So I put her on Black Mesa on easy, and she's doing way better than I thought she would do. First of all, she's scared.
The entire time.
She's shaking. She showed me her hands. She's shaking. She's so scared. She jumps away.
It's a scary
away.
Game, though.
Yeah. Well, it's not really known as a scary game. Will anybody list Half-Life on their horror ever? No. It's creepy, for
it's
sure.
It's got horror elements.
Yeah. But I think the thing about her is she gets so into something that she's invested. You know, she's mentally invested. So when things scare her, I mean, she's... But anyway, she's doing... Way, way, way better than I would say most. She's never played any WSD thing ever. And I was like, maybe if you get this down, you can play probably 70% of PC games.
Yeah.
The WASD with Sprint and Control, and you're good. So she's working on it. And she,
how far is she?
She is, you know where the... Did you get to the point where you...
So this is, by the way, for our listeners, Black Mesa is a remake
of Half-Life.
Of the original Half-Life.
Which was known as the best PC game of all time for 7 years.
So this was a fan-made game, basically, that Valve gave approval for, is my understanding of it, right?
And it looks so much better.
And it's good.
Because I was trying to show her how much better it looked than the original, so I brought up a YouTube video, and you could see it's just like... It's nice.
But it's very authentic. Like, it's very true to the original piece.
And it's, it doesn't look great by any means, but it looks so much better than the original.
Yeah.
But, did you get to the part where the boxes are suspended in air? Okay, so she went through that. Jumping is really hard for her. Shooting guys, not so much, actually. So
because she can do the mouse, but she can't do the W space bar at the same time.
So, but she's better at crouch jumping than I ever was at that point, for sure.
She
picked up at crouch jumping right away. It was really
interesting. That was a game that created crouch jumping.
Yeah. And she hasn't got to her first boss yet, but she's doing really well. And she might start streaming it.
There's 2 versions of crouch jumping, right? There's a crouch jump where you jump up and then crouch to try to reach higher spots.
Right.
And then there's a crouch jumping where you crouch right before you jump.
And you jump higher.
And you jump higher, right?
And then there's a combination of the two.
Right. There is more than one version,
You would crouch jump and then crouch while you're in the air to make the ledge.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's bunny hopping, which I won't even bring up. But, it's like some sort of glitch within all of that.
Yeah, because you moved faster.
Yeah, you moved faster.
Every time you did it.
Speaking of Gordon Freeman, he's in Mad Max. actually. There's a dead body somewhere in the desert, and he's holding a crowbar. He has the three on his thing, and he has glasses on. So it's a little homage. You were talking about Easter eggs the other day.
Yeah.
When you throw something in like this, it's kind of nice. People talk about it. It's cool.
Yes, that is cool.
Heavy bullets. I got to the last guy. I'm so fucking happy. I had never even beat the middle boss, ever. So I finally beat the middle boss, and somehow I made it all the way to the last boss. He's impossible. And so that
I can't believe you're still playing this game. The graphics are so bad.
It's good.
That I can't stand this game.
It's really good, and you need to learn how to aim and shoot. You're not very good at aiming and shooting. So this is
Do you think after 30-some years that somehow playing one game is suddenly going to turn it around?
Do you think you're better or worse than when we're playing 1.6?
Probably worse at this point.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you got to stay up. These old guys, you know, we got to stretch every once in a while.
That's not the game to stretch for. I'll play CSGO and work on aiming and shooting with you on that.
Dead Pixels is an 8-bit zombie survival game that is deceptively complex. It just looks like a 2D beat-em-up where you just go sideways and shoot zombies. And that's what you're doing. But where the complexity comes in is it's an old school kind of RPG in the items and leveling up. You can level up. There's a lot of like tweaking that you can do, but the actual game is so basic. It's like Final Fight or Double Dragon, better. You're just walking sideways and killing zombies.
Is it walking where it's kind of the camera's tilted so you can move up and down?
Up and down, yeah. It's exactly what it is. But unlockables, ammo, buying items. That's all. That's complexity. Where
did you actually pick this up? Do you know how much it's running?
I don't remember.
Bobby, can you look that up?
Dead Pixels? I think I was playing it off of somebody else's account.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably in the $5 to $10 range. I'm going to look it up. But this is a game that I've seen pop up in many, many bundles. You can probably get it on G2A for really cheap or just wait till it comes up on a bundle. $2.99. Okay,
$2.99,
so it's
full
not that
price. So yeah. You're going to save yourself a dollar or two.
That looks cool. It's kind of River City Rampage style.
Yeah. It's not bad. I liked how much there was to it. So, what do we got next?
I think that's it for the games we've been playing. Yeah. So, let's talk about any listener questions. We want to give a shout out to Flying Hawaiian, who's been hooking us up with some games.
Oh, yeah.
He bought us all 10 free random gift codes or whatever. So
from G2A. Can you buy a 10-pack?
A 10-pack, yeah.
So it's random, though. You don't know what you're getting in those packs.
I actually got some good games. I got Two Worlds Epic Edition or whatever.
That's legit, man.
I got Earth 2160, which looks decent. And then a couple interesting ones. I'm going to play some.
I got Bard to the Future.
But you, yeah.
Well, I got a game actually that, I mean, I got so many games that a lot of those were repeats, but I can always use them in giveaways. But I did get one that I had been looking at called Battle vs. Chess. Terrible name, I know. But I've been looking at all the chess games on Steam. I don't know how you guys
feel.
You're
so weird, Bobby.
Yeah. I like chess, but even though I'm not that great at it. But how do you guys feel about board games on virtual platforms like PC or consoles?
I'd rather play board games at home.
There's a new one that came out recently called Armorillo or something like that, which is based on a board game. If you have a game based on a board game, I like it. Like, if you take Risk and you add dynamics to it and
Animations
and the dice roll and CG, so I can play Risk by myself with four other CG players, I'm down with that. If you just literally give me the board game in a virtual mode, I will tell you to fuck right off.
But playing board games in real life is one of my favorite things in life.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Why don't
so
we
much.
Do that?
I don't know.
People don't do it as much anymore. They have a game called Tabletop Simulator I've been meaning to check out, where you can, it's like if you're going to do D&D or any sort of other tabletop game, you can play on there. It's like a virtual environment where you can play all these games.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It's like a virtual die, and like you could just set up whatever you want. I've looked at it so many times.
That's cool.
All right, so let's talk a little news here.
There was one more on. So, none of us are soccer or European football fans. And there recently came out both the PES 16, which is, I forget what exactly PES.
Football Manager?
No.
Football
Manager? It's actually, you play football. It's not the manager. You actually.
Oh, gotcha.
Pro Evolution Soccer, that's right. Pro Evolution Soccer 16 came out and FIFA 16 came out. I realize all the rest of the country, all the rest of the world except for America, this is a big deal, and these are the two heavyweights that go up against each other. We're not going to review them because none of us are soccer fans.
The tip of the cap.
But what I was hoping is that some listeners would respond on our Steam group, give your opinions, because I'm sure players, listeners are playing the game. I kind of want to give an opinion on which one is the way we should go on. So I'm hoping listeners will give some feedback. I'm gonna kick up a Steam group thread on it and just ask which one is the one that people are liking better.
And see for those who actually care about this, tenemos que saber cuál es el mejor, el FIFA 16 o el PES 16. Dicenos en el Steam group.
enough.
Steam group. That's my best.
Yeah. That was it.
It's funny how they have two different soccer games that are in heavy competition, but every other sports game, it's like there's just one. Football, Madden.
Well, it's bought out. And it's American. So yeah.
Well, NBA. That's not always true, but soccer is so big and is so global that they're going to have a bunch of different games. There's more than this that go, but these are just the two heavyweights that go up against each other.
I'm just saying, in other sports games, there's usually one big title that everybody looks forward to. All right, so let's talk about some news.
Yeah.
WildStar is going free-to-play, and they're having a graphics update. I haven't played this since the alpha or beta, so I have no idea what it looks like.
If now WildStar is free-to-play, would you think about picking it up? A couple months ago, you were talking about trying to pick up an MMO.
Yeah.
Kind of related to this, I have some buddies at work that are going to start playing Guild Wars 2 again because the expansion is coming out next month, and it's one of those free-to-play MMOs that is quality, but you don't have to spend a monthly on it. So if you've already bought the game, you can just pick up and play whenever.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we talked a lot about MMOs the last couple of months, and every time I go back to them, I just realize more and more that I'm over the genre. So, no, I mean, nothing about this really sticks out to me. WildStar, they announced they were going free-to-play a while ago. I would have thought it would have happened by now.
The 29th of this month is when they're going free-to-play is what I heard.
I don't think it's fair that you classify Guild Wars 2 as a free-to-play MMO.
No, it's not free-to-play, but there's no subscription.
Yeah.
Right. Subscriptionless, I guess.
Well, free-to-play is not my issue with MMOs. It's just I played so much World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I've tried out so many other different MMOs, and I don't know. It's just not for me at this particular point.
Yep.
All right. Learn Dota 2 from LoL. What does that mean?
So there is a site called, I believe it's called Dota Buff, and League of Legends is the most popular MOBA around, but Dota 2 is also one that's coming up. But Dota 2 has so many more complexities than League of Legends. So a lot of times League of Legends players try to pick up Dota 2 and just get lost and don't know who to pick and don't know how to play and everything like that. So one of these websites had this interesting thing that I thought was pretty cool. It basically says, hey, what do you play in League of Legends? So you select a couple of heroes that are champions in League of Legends, and then basically it tells you, okay, here's a couple guys in Dota that you should try to play based on who you've played in League of Legends, and here's how you kind of use them, and here's how they're same to these characters, and here's how they're different. I just think it's a cool idea that larger than this, if we're going to be moving games towards a sport, one of these things you need is continuity. Like, baseball's been around since the 20s. And so that's, my dad was into baseball. My grandfather was into baseball. My kids might be into baseball. You know, it's got this whole lineage that esports don't have, because there's all these new games that come out and each one tries to do something different. And all this whole concept, I think it's kind of a cool concept that you can evolve the sport. You can take League of Legends and then say evolve it into Dota 2 to have hopefully an idea that you can evolve far enough that you can have this continuity that regular sports have. So
it sounds like the Gaben made this website.
I don't know.
Trying to convert people.
Yeah. Converted.
But it's kind of a cool concept, and if esports are going to make it as big as regular sports, there will have to be some sort of effort to do this where you're playing CS:GO and then the next big game comes out, and then you have to convert all those people to the new game that comes out. Because if you don't convert them, like my grandfather, whatever, will talk about sports way back in his day, and they're not the same sports as they're here, but they're similar enough that we can both talk on the same grounds.
I don't know if going from LoL to Dota is an evolutionary change, more of like a lateral change.
Because there's a lot more under the hood for Dota 2 than LoL. I think LoL's...
There's a lot more going on in that game. Done. But I don't think League players are going to leave League, go to Dota, and then League's just going to die out.
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. But, for example, WoW. When WoW... It's starting to die down. We need another MMO to pick it up, and then you need to convert all those WoW players to that new one. If you don't have that, then it's this kind of staggering kind of step motion that happens to these things, and it will never pick up the popularity that these mainstream sports have. So I don't know. Maybe I thought of it as a larger thing than what it is, but I think it's kind of an interesting concept.
Oh, for sure. What is the esports daily fantasy? So we're looking at like the.
So there's the two big two big daily fantasy websites.
DraftKings
is DraftKings and FanDuel. DraftKings is now has announced that they will start doing esports daily fantasy drafting. So it's one of the two big ones. But oops, sorry, this is nobody's done this before. Yeah. But it's an obvious way to go.
Right.
So coming out soon, whenever DraftKings releases it, you'll be able to do daily fantasy for CS:GO tournaments, League of Legends tournaments, you know, the big one. Hearthstone as well. But you can do these big ones.
The problem with when you're getting in this early is the players can be affected by the bets. Oh, let's work this out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And, you know. But if it's a daily one, then the chances of that are much, much lower.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing. I like the daily. The long-term one, obviously, well, if I can make 80 grand by losing to this guy, then obviously I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So you have to worry about that. These daily ones, and plus there's so many directions that people are going, oh, you know, I think this guy's going to do it. You know, they can always... this is the way to do it, for sure. I think it's the daily way. The other way... you run into some corruption and stuff. So
for especially people, with CSGO. For players. People that are just gamers and don't know about this daily fantasy, basically the concept of daily fantasy is you can do fantasy sports, whatever, fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball, whatever, but you do it in a very short timeline. Like you pick your team for fantasy football for that week, and then after that week's done, you either win or you lose, and then you can create a whole new lineup for next week. So that's kind of the concept for this. So if you're going to go to a CS:GO tournament, you can create a team for just that day or that week or that tournament or whatever. And then it's very short, and then you're done. You either win or you lose, and you're playing against people, and so you can actually earn real money from doing this. So that's kind of what's going on there.
I mean... obviously, we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But this is...
We expected a new... At least I expected a new website to come out to try to do this. I was not expecting a big name. Like, we've got commercials on TV for DraftKings. So this is a huge company.
They're smart as shit. So they're really smart.
They're putting the money behind it. This will be a thing.
They gave away $1 billion last year.
Yep.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Wow. Of other people's money. But yeah, they facilitated $1 billion.
There was $1 billion worth of winning going on in that.
Right.
So.
What are these links?
You know what? That's some hardware stuff, but let's push that back a week. Not urgent. We're running pretty long here. So, let's wrap this up. What's next week looking like? What are you guys going to be playing? Emilio, you said you're going to be doing some CS:GO.
Yeah, I downloaded it. How long has it been since... I've been wanting to look this up. How long has it been since 1.6? Anybody know? Or 1.5.
I could
like
tell
15
you.
Years probably,
I could
right?
tell you it was probably in the 2003-2004 range.
Okay, so
it's been about
10 years, 10-11 years.
So I haven't played in about that amount of time. And once 1.6 is, that's, I think that's when we dropped out, because that's when they made you download Steam, and Steam is fucking shit. Fucking, this is bullshit. I don't like this metal gray thing. So, yeah, I haven't played in a very, very long time. And I wasn't particularly good, but it's one of the top rated or top watched Twitch things. So I'm going to use that to my advantage.
It is the PC first person shooter to play.
Yes, my angle on it is going to be, I don't know what I'm doing. And
watch me
climb the ranks.
Watch me suck
from last to the second to last.
Yeah. How about you, Bobby?
I'm going to be playing more of the Magic Circle, and I might pick up Soma. I'm not sure yet. This is a horror game. Halloween's coming up. I usually play a lot of scary games around then. I don't know if I'm going to do that again this year, at least not to the extent that I did last year, but we'll see. But Soma's from the people who made Amnesia and Penumbra, those kind of games, I believe. So it's along those lines. It's underwater. I hear it's really good. It's $30, though. It seems a little steep, but I may grab Soma.
What about Amnesia, though? Why aren't you playing that?
Yeah, I really should play that. Yeah. I've had that game forever.
First, I think.
You should play it.
I don't know. This one looks really good. Watch the trailer, or check out the screenshots. Like, this looks fucking cool. But yeah, Amnesia, I gotta play that too.
As far as myself, I'm definitely gonna still play some Metal Gear Solid 5, because that's on console for me. As far as my PC playing, Flying Hawaiian gave me 10 games to get into. So I'm gonna get into some of those games. So yeah, I got nothing big on that front.
Cool. Can we wrap this one up?
Yep.
Thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you have thoughts, you know, bring it up on the Steam group. Mm-hmm. And we love listener questions. If you guys have any questions at all, we've got a whole thread devoted to listener questions.
Yeah.
We encourage you to do it.
That's a less than a week turnaround on those. Right away.
Yeah.
The, hey, you should play this stuff, could take years. So,
because I'm the only one that actually plays ones that you guys write.
Speaking for Bobby and Chad and Emilio, titties.